I want to speak to you on this day where we celebrate adoption on the subject, a choice of love for life. A choice of love for life. Romans chapter 8, verse 15, speaking of God's adoption of we as believers. Paul said, "For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." In this church family, we have many families that have adopted and many children from all over the world. And so we are very blessed to be in this kind of church. But as I think about that, I have to also think that it may be that God has you in this church because He wants to speak to you about adopting. It may even be that you visited here today and you just chose a church, but yet God really had a plan for you to be here on this particular day where once a year we do celebrate adoption. It is just to be sensitive to what God might be saying through that. It is a grand avenue of expressing God's love and our unalterable commitment to the sanctity of human life when we view adoption as something that God loves, desires, and may even be leading us to do. So I want to share a few things with you this morning along that line. The first is just the example of God. We saw in that verse 15 that He adopts, but notice we didn't receive a spirit of slavery leading to fear, but received a spirit of adoption. And out of that we cry out, Abba, Father. So adoption is the act of leaving one family and joining another with all of the responsibilities, all of the privileges, and all of the love that that family would give. And that's what the picture is when we come in to the family of God. The Greek word for adoption is the word to place a son. That's what it means. And son can be used as child. But it's used by Paul, that particular word, five times in the New Testament, referring to Roman citizenship. And during that time, to have Roman citizenship was very significant. There were many privileges and rights that came with Roman citizenship that those that lived in Rome did not have. And so to be adopted into that was a grand thing, and it was all done by grace. The one that was adopted hadn't done anything like us. In our adoption with God, it is not because we've done something, it's not because we've merited something, but it's because of what's in God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5 and 7. And Randy read from this. Listen again to Galatians 4, 4 through 5. But when the fullness of time came, meaning when the time that God had planned, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that we might be redeemed. So that we might be redeemed, bought, purchased as those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Notice that redemption, the payment, is made before the finalization of adoption. There were two reasons for adoption, God adopting us, and that was to redeem us from servitude, from obligation to the law. The law has no love. The law has no family. The law has no future. The law shows you your failures. God redeemed us from being servants of the law. But not only that, the positive side is so that we might be adopted into the family of God as children. So we move from servitude to sonship. We move from obligation to adoption. And we move most significantly from law to love by the process of adoption. In verse 6 and 7 of that chapter in Galatians chapter 4, he says, "Because you are sons, God has sent forth His Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God." When you read that verse, you have to notice that it mentions God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. The triune God is involved in the process of adoption. The word Abba is a Aramaic term, and it was a term of intimacy, and to put it into our vernacular, it would be the word daddy. Can you imagine a more intimate term between a holy God and a rebellious sinner? For that rebellious sinner to become so related to the holy God that he can call him daddy. Even when I say that, if it weren't for the scripture, it would sound irreverent. But that is the relationship that God brings to pass through the process of adoption. The law, which we were under, makes no one perfect. It doesn't fix our problem. What it does is points out our problem. But what fixed our problem, and what fixes the problem today through human adoption, is love. Not law. Everyone who's adopted, every family that's adopted, there's no law that says thou shalt do this. They're not forced, they're not made to do it, they don't have to do it. But there is something that brings it about, and you know what that is? It is love. There was no law that God had to adopt us. There was no requirement. There was no restriction upon God that He had to do that. But what caused Him to do it was His own love. Paul refers to God as Father 40 times in his New Testament writing. So we become children of God, and in that we have a legal status in the family of God, and Satan cannot challenge, no one can challenge our legal status of who we are, what we are heirs to, and our future, and our legal status in the family of God. It doesn't matter from whence we came, doesn't matter how long we've been adopted. What matters is that we're adopted. But not only do we have a legal status, we have a relational status. That we are moved in the scripture from being enemies of God to becoming children of God, in which we can cry out, Abba, and it is not disrespectful. Are irreverent, even though God is a holy God. All of that comes about because of a relational love. You see, adoption is a decision that's made out of love, 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 love. That's what drives adoption, is simply love. That someone has the love in their heart for someone, and they take that person into their family like God did with us. John says of this love in 1 John 3:1, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God," and that was through adoption. "And such we are." John says, look at the great love. The King James says, what manner of love? The English Standard Version says, what kind? And I've shared with you before, but John's looking for an adjective to describe the love of God that adopted us, and he ends up asking, what kind of love is this? And that's a word that means, we would say, what planet? Where'd this love come from? And that's the adoptive love. So every Christian should be grateful that God is the first and foremost promoter and actor of adoption. What kind of love? Let me give you some examples in the scripture, just three of them very quickly. There's the example of adoption with Joseph's sons, which is rather insightful. Jacob gave the birthright to Joseph by elevating Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. And he did it when he said these words, and listen to them. Jacob says to Joseph, "And now your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, just like Reuben and Simeon are." Jacob said, "Your sons are going to be my sons, just like my biological sons. Just the same in love, in benefit, in care, in provision, in protection. Just as." Very interesting. What about Moses? We know that the Pharaoh had issued a decree to kill all of the male infants that were Hebrew. And Jochebed had a baby. And so in order to protect that baby, she made a basket and sealed it so it'd be waterproof. And then she put that baby, took her own baby, and put that baby in the river and sent that baby off praying that it would be safe. And of course, one of the daughters of the Pharaoh came and found that baby, retrieved that baby, and adopted that baby into the royal family, and that baby was Moses. And you well know the history of Moses. He became a blessed servant of God. And every time I read that passage, and Jessica shared some things today that brought it to us again, but when I read that, I try to think about what she must have been thinking when she had to put her baby and send it away. And the hurt, the concern. And what it reminds me of is this, that there are times when, because of dire circumstances, however they've come about, that it is better for that baby to be given to adoption. And it is in that an act of love. And then I think about Esther. And you remember Esther, apparently her parents had died. We don't really know, but apparently they had died. And so Mordecai took her in to raise her. And she was apparently an exceptionally beautiful young lady. And there came a time when all of Israel was in danger. And Mordecai told her to go in before the king to have that access, which she was risking her own life. That's where the famous phrase, "If I perish, I perish." But he was so overtaken by her beauty. And God used that, and through her, Israel was saved from being tormented and annihilated by Haman. You see, Joseph's sons being adopted changed the provision of land that was given to his family, and through Moses and Esther being adopted, God saved the people of Israel. Let me give you just a couple of verses that are exhortations. Isaiah 1:17, "Learn to do good, seek justice, reprove the ruthless, defend the orphan, and plead for the widow." And then, of course, James 1:27, "Pure and undefiled religion," meaning real religion, "in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." And that word, to visit the orphans, that is the word we get the word bishop from episkopos, meaning to look intently upon, to care, to watch over the orphans. In ancient times in Rome, we know from historical writings, but we also have personal letters. And we know that infanticide, the killing of a born baby, was rampant. And many times, because of some birth defect or maybe just unwantedness, and many times, the only thing that caused that baby to be killed was that baby was born a girl. And they would do it many ways, but one of the ways, they would just take that baby down to the water and drown that baby. And when Christianity started and Christians began to flourish, they saw that and they believed in the sanctity of life, and so we would call them today pro-life. And they began taking in these unwanted children and saving them from infanticide. And that kind of act that Romans were not doing, they were doing the very opposite, that began to catch the eye of Romans, and that was part of the changing of the Roman Empire. And adoption can play that part even in an evangelistic, in the world, atmosphere even today. And then let me talk about evangelism in the home. When you talk about the word hospitality in the New Testament, it was really a word for loving strangers. So we can be hospitable to those whom we know and those that are strangers, but that was the idea. And that is bringing someone into your home to live and to be a part of your family. And that is a life-altering decision for anyone who's ever done it. We are to do good. I want to give you four things from, this is from Christian Advocates for Adoption, addressing why adopt. They list four. First, God is the creator of life, meaning that every child, regardless where they are, whether they're unwanted, whether they're in a hellish earthly situation, whatever it may be, they are created in the image of God. We believe in the sanctity of human life because humans are created, every human, in the image of God. So from conception to death, that person bears the image of God. And adoption completes the circle of being pro-life. To be pro-life is to be pro-adoption. Second, adoption is good for the child. The child gains opportunity that they may not have, and that opportunity may even be life itself, or at least extending that life. But they may be in a situation that they haven't done anything to merit, that they don't have hope, they don't have a future, they don't have life. Maybe there are trials going through. What if we found that Moses would have been kept by his mother? He may have been killed. Third, adoption is good for the birth mother. Because as Jessica shared, what comes to mind, even if you're pro-life, is the option of abortion. Without adoption, that's not the option. That's what's there.
That's right.
And so abortion, we know, affects mothers physiologically and psychologically. Many times, even years and decades later, they carry great guilt because of that. And we even know from studies that that is true of men many times as well. And fourth, adoption is good for the adoptive family. There is a God-given, there can be exceptions to this, but generally there is a God-given desire in us to have a family, to have children. But because of the fall, everything is messed up. Everything's in disarray. And so some who have all of the love and all of the tenderness and all of the desire to have children cannot have children. And adoption can be one of the most wonderful things for that family, giving them that opportunity to share what God has put in their heart with someone who desperately needs it. When Christians adopt, we are demonstrating the love of God. And as has been thought about, and if you've ever thought about adoption, or you've become familiar with it, you've either done it, or you've been in a church like this, what you find out is, it is excessively expensive. It is extraordinarily inconvenient. That's the nature of children, by the way. And it is an enterprise that is lifelong. It's not something they're going to do for a year. I mean, their whole life has changed. And so it is embarking on a changing of their entire life, both the adopted child and the adoptive family. But I want to tell you what is to keep in mind. It is eternally significant. You know where the best place to make disciples? You know where it is? It's in the home. You'll never get as much time to spend in all the years of maturation with any human being as you do in the home. It is a great place of evangelism. Now let me take a moment and just kind of apply and refresh our memory on these adoptive truths that come from God adopting us. Adoption is not based upon the merit of the adoptee. It just simply isn't. I mean, if you look at a little baby, they haven't done anything. They don't even know the word yet. They don't know what to do if there was something to do. And the same with us. We didn't know it, couldn't do it, and in our state, we didn't even want to do it. And then the adoptee is the child of that family that adopts them in every way except biologically. But in every other way, love and protection, provision, every way, like we saw with Jacob, just as mine, just like mine are. Some adoptees into families, they're in such situations that really, humanly speaking, there isn't a future, there isn't hope, there isn't a way out. And what adoption does is hands that to them before they even know what's being handed to them. Couples that cannot presently have children, they can adopt and fulfill these God-given desires and their heart and all that they have to give. Instead of keeping it bound up, there is a child that needs that. That can be fully brought to bear upon a life. And you know what? What we find many times too is that there are families who adopt who can have biological children. Maybe they haven't had any. Maybe they've had one or two. And sometimes we find that they'll have a biological child or two, and then they'll adopt two or three, and then they'll have another biological. There isn't a certain path. It's flexible. Start your own path. Set a trend. So when we think about adoption, we have to think about others like Moses and Esther. Look at their beginning and look how God used them. There are many testimonies, even here, but also in others that have been adopted. But one of my favorite is back in the 1700s, a wealthy Irishman offered to adopt Charles Wesley. You know him as the evangelist and hymnist. So this wealthy man, Irishman, offered to adopt him. He was 13 years old because going to school, he was having all kinds of difficulties getting through school financially. And Charles turned it down and went on and continued his way. And of course, you know, he became known, and I quote, as the Prince of Hymn Writers. Now, a lot of times, and we've seen in this, our church here, that sometimes you're in the process of adoption, and your heart's there, your love's there, you've seen the child, you may have held the child, and then for various reasons, the adoption process is stopped. And it is a very painful, confusing, and hurtful time. But sometimes we have to look at this in the big picture that God may be doing something. So here was this wealthy Irishman wanting to adopt Charles. Charles declined it, so he ended up adopting someone else. And that someone else became the grandfather of the Duke of Wellington. And he is one of the most famous men in English history, for it is the Duke of Wellington that led the troops to defeat France, Napoleon the Great, in 1815 at Waterloo. So we never know what God may be doing in these, changing these situations. One of the things about being in this church and thinking about adoption or considering it or praying about it, you're not alone. There are heroes among us. There are people who have done it and sometimes done it several times. It would be hard to imagine a situation that we don't have somebody who can share personal things about that. There always seems to be a lot of fear. And maybe it is with every adoption, you're afraid because there's so many uncertainties. But we have people who have walked through that. So if you're afraid, if you have concerns, you can actually go and talk to someone who has probably had the very same concerns and fears. One of the fears is that if you've had a biological child, will you be able to love this adopted child the same? And you know, if you don't know anybody that's adopted, that can be a very difficult question to answer. But if you talk to those who have adopted, that will be allayed. That fear will be allayed. Because when that child comes into your home and you hold that child, you will love that child with a God kind of love. And then, what can we do? Well, you can pray about whether God wants you to do this. We can pray, as Ryan said, about those that may be going through this. And sometimes the process of coming to grips with all that's entailed can be months or a year or more. And then the finances. We do have a designated fund where you and I can give to help families who are willing to embark upon this. And as Ryan said, you know, the cost and the disparity. We have all of the children that need adopted, and we have families that want to adopt, but sometimes the problem is the finances. Not always, but sometimes that's the problem. So there's this great disparity, but we can have a part in that by just contributing to this, so that when someone is open in our church to following God in this, we can be a part of that and helping them. I pray that we'll all be a part, praying, giving, and even going into adoption. Will you bow your head? And I want to pray specifically for those that have adopted, those that are considering it. Maybe you're at a point, maybe you're not even married, and you're looking down the road when you get married, and maybe adoption's something that God's put on your heart, and that's the route you're going to go. If you've not been adopted into the family of God, the way that we're adopted is not by becoming something, being better, doing things. It is simply by accepting His love, His unmerited redemptive love that was given to us through the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank You for loving us, and that we can even talk about adoption. We can only thank You, for You adopted us. And now we have so many adopting others, opening their family and their home like You did with us, making one who was not a part of their family a part, as You did with us. And Lord, just like You gave us love, and we are so very, very grateful, so by adoption, Your love is extended to another, and we thank You for that. We pray Your Spirit would move among us and our hearts would be sensitive to whatever You might incline us to do individually as a church. And Lord, let no one leave here today without knowing they have been adopted into Your family for all eternity. In Jesus' worthy name, amen.